Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Arms out to your mum's house. 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 Arms out to your mum's house.
Where are we, man?
We're down in Paddington. Very close.
Little Venice.
Very close to where I was born. Little Venice.
You farting again? What's wrong with you, Finn? You're always farting on a pod.
The old boat pottage.
Yo.
Hello, Dreamboat.
Hello,
Gil.
Hi.
Fatty Love.
You just had a fucking pizza.
Yeah.
I walk a lot.
Fatty Love.
This guy.
Fatty Love is good, wasn't it? Up in here, episode 99.
Fatty Boom Batty.
Fatty Boom Batty. Episode 99, old boy.
That's the year Slim Shady LP dropped.
Oh,
that's
shit.
True.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually. Let me grab my record.
What's the podcast called?
Let's get some of Harry's
slurping
some
noodles.
My wife.
Let's get some of you slurping some noodles. Not right now.
All right.
I've got serious business, Harry.
Yeah.
Stop fucking about.
Stop fucking around, mate. Fix up. That's what we say.
Fix up,
motherfucker.
Fix up. SKAM, the number 2, official. Yeah.
Original love.
What's that whiskey in there? Yeah.
Where's your water?
It's my fucking water's right here.
Your fucking
your non-tea pronouncing bastard.
Bottle of water.
Which one?
Scam. S-K-A-M.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you spelled it with a C?
Skim.
Stop embarrassing us. Skim.
Yeah, you know, they're right next to each other. It happens.
It's called Scam, man.
Sorry, guys.
Mommy dearest.
Wait, are we recording right now?
Yeah. Everything's recording.
So my favorite shit.
I'm video.
All right, sweet.
So my favorite shit is like recently, and it's just only happened in the last couple of years, everybody starts going, Scam 2. Fucking 20-something years. No one said they weren't doing that. Now they're like, Scam 2. And I'm just like.
Scam. Sure. What would they say before?
It's just scam. Yeah, the two silent, bro.
Yeah.
The two silent.
And what about the question mark? Because there's a question.
So if you're going to say, if you're going to say scam two, you got to say scam two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Scam two.
With the question
mark. There's a reason. There's a story behind it.
Well, let's get into it. Soph, I just want to double check. We're ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Eat the mic.
I'm wondering if because where you're sitting, Amber, it's like that's.
Oh, I'm in front of Scam's face.
Yeah.
Aha.
So maybe you need to...
I can sit like this.
Get your butt out of Scam's face.
There we go. How's that? Yo, party people. We're on the boat pod. We got the captain here barking orders at our seamen.
Yeah.
Hold on, can I take a wee-wee break before?
Yeah, you can go there. We can hear you, though.
We'll
pick it up on the mic.
This guy was like, fucking noodles.
noodles.
Yo, comes in eating noodles.
That's your
then
new...
Then goes for a piss. He's only had one sip of beer, look.
Jeez Louise.
Then that's his new nickname, Noodles.
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 Noodles have got a straight.
That's the worst thing. One little thing will happen to you, and then someone will nickname you, and the nickname
like, yo, where's Noodles?
Yo,
who?
Noodles.
Harry?
Yeah.
Where's Noodles?
When did we start calling him Noodles? Last week? Well, you didn't even know that. Everyone calls him Noodles
now. I think that's what they used to call Inspector Deck. Noodles.
Noodles, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
What's your favorite Eminem track?
Mine?
Yeah.
Shit, 365.
Yeah, 365, man. That's what I was about to say, because I was about to... okay, good.
You've asked it four times,
well,
bro.
I wanted to come into the 365 track, you know?
Yo, I'm trying to be the man of the day, 365 a year. See the bullshit you saying, scam ain't trying to hear. Busting lyrics in the air, keeping some up in the chamber.
Yo, scam, what the fuck you
man,
doing?
Man, I'm releasing
anger. Trying to be the illest of the day, 365 a year. So that bullshit you saying, Shady ain't trying to hear. Spitting lyrics in your ear, keeping some up in the chamber.
Hey, yo, Shady, what the fuck you doing?
I'm releasing anger.
Something about you, don't you? You've got money in the head. I'm real bloody weirdo.
Man, I'm tired of being tired. Every time I wake up, tired of these fake ducks. Tired of being late for the bus. Tired of all be blending and ended up dating sluts. So my facial expression stay stuck up and shut the fuck up to the pretty ass rappers that ain't shit without makeup. Wake up, gold digging bitches. The bus stops here. The road to riches is closed for repairs. If the shoe ain't fitting, girl, leave that shit alone. You ain't Erykah Badu. What I look like, Tyrone? I rip a tissue out your hair, spitting like I don't care. My hair look like I ain't combed this shit in damn near a year. Sideburn zigzag, I leave the next man with his heels up. Brain dead to be reincarnated at a speed bump. When we don't, we skate hard, so you don't land shit. Suck scams, dick, goggle with a dead man spit. Yo, that's it, I don't plan shit. You know how it go down, they need to slow down and take a look who the hoe now. With every industry party, getting so damn drunk, can't remember the last ass you kissed or dick you sucked. Remind me of my ex in the street, got me back. Try to roll up on Miami, leave with a broke neck. Oh shit, lethal lyric equal landmine. I be stacking up white rappers like I'm throwing gang signs. And I'm buck wild, exposing the plain truth. You couldn't mess with me.
Party people, welcome to Arms House to Your Mom's House, episode 99. It's your boy, Amber. We got my main man, Theme, as per usual. And we got a familiar face.
Fatty Love.
Fatty Love. AKA Noodles. I think you got to eat the mic a bit more. We got Harry Love in the place, legendary character.
What's up, guys?
And we got an even more special guest. Sorry, Harry. He's even more special for right now. Because he's in the country, all the way from the US of A.
Hates us.
We're gonna be learning more about him. You all know of this guy, but whether you realize you know him is a different story. But to cut to the chase, we got the main man Scam 2 question mark.
rap.
Scam in the place.
What up?
Salute, brother. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
I know you're in town. You're staying with Harry, right? Or he's looking after you for the time
man.
Being.
Show me around. Show me what's up.
We got you before Killer Keller. Sorry, no, it's all love. Fucking hell, man. It's just an honor and a pleasure to have you here, man. And just to briefly explain to the heads that might not be too aware, Scam is an ill MC. Been rapping since the early 90s, right? Maybe early.
I was mid-90s.
You did stuff with DJ Spinner, with Ill Bill, one of my favorites of all time is Ill Bill.
Shout out to Bill.
I got a track you did with M1 from Dead Prez that I want to play a bit later on. I love Dead Prez. And inimitably, maybe the most famous thing you're famous for is the artwork for Tribe Called Quest's fourth album, Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
I would say that's probably...
Is that you, bro?
That's like third on the list.
Eminem's...
Number three!
Okay, wait, all right.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued, because the thing above that, I would say...
Number one to me.
It depends on the crowd. But I would say...
Which one?
It's interesting.
Quest, man.
Because it's like, I'll go certain places.
I'm a Tribe Called Quest what? I'm a Tribe Called Quest stan.
Yes.
Yeah,
there
like,
we go, linking it up.
So I got the Beats, Rhymes, and Life album, right?
Yeah.
And then... I did a logo for Drink Champs.
I was going to bring that up.
But the funny thing about it, like, you know, I did it before they even recorded a show.
Oh,
you know
wow.
what I mean? Because EFN, that's, you know, that's the homie. Like, shout out to Crazy Hoods, the rest of the CHP crew.
That's Miami connection as well.
Yeah. And I did that not even knowing. He's just like, I was co-hosting a show with him called... OG Radio.
Mm-hmm.
That was a podcast he had. I don't even know if it was a podcast. I think it was like on internet radio station. So that was the show before Drink Champs. People think like Drink Champs was like the first thing he did. And it's like, you know,
EFN
done,
you're talking about.
Yeah, EFN has done so many things.
Yeah.
Like that's the one that just went,
Could you just give us a little breakdown of who he is in the scene? Because I don't have the full picture of who he is in the
scene. His title for the longest was Miami's Mixtape King. And this guy used to churn out mixtapes.
Okay, okay.
Everything. They did it themselves, you know? Like, he was doing promotion.
Yeah.
Like, back in the days. So he had access to a lot of artists when they come, and he would, you know, get drops, and sometimes he'd get freestyles. I brought Dead Press through there.
Was he involved with the labels and stuff like that? Did he?
Yeah, like when you're doing a promo, you're doing it for the labels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So,
of course.
So he had Crazy Hood. They were doing things.
Yeah.
Since, you know, before I even really got into the scene in Miami, like, I kind of met up with them, and that guy's had the same number since I've known him. Like, he's just the most solid person I know that's reached that level of fame.
Deep.
You know what I mean?
I mean, what he created with Nori, and that is such a dream team as well on Drink Champs. Them two together. Nori having the insider, obviously knowing all these legends that come onto the pod, so they speak so much easier and freely. And then the drinking as well.
Exactly. So that is the formula.
Yeah, and they add the drink. Because I've been listening to that from early. I remember when KRS was on there and he called him out for the whole Bambata thing. And, like, you know, from the one of the first early episodes. And they were about...
Who called who out?
They called... It's a long story. I don't want to get into that.
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But it was one of their early episodes, and I remember, like, getting into it from back then. And just the dynamic they have there, yeah, with the drinking and Nori being a joker as well, you know what I mean? And EFN being a fucking stand-up dude who's been in the game for a long time and knows his shit.
Yeah, he's like a solid, like, for real, legit journalist. Yeah.
He comes across like that.
He knows his shit, man.
He had a series that he did, because they're, you know, a lot of the CHP guys are Cuban, but they don't really know their roots.
Yeah.
Like that, because, you know, a lot of the Cubans came over and they're like, no, don't go back, you know. So they were kind of, you know, they wanted to know. So he started this, he did a documentary called Coming Home. And so basically they all went to Cuba to go see Cuba and see what the hip hop was like in Cuba. But then that, like, kind of spun into, okay, they went to Vietnam because his dad was a Vietnam vet, and, you know, kind of wanted to see the place that, like, kind of transformed his dad, you know, so he maybe could understand him a little bit more. And then they, you know, they went to Haiti and some other places, and it would be interesting, the things. Like, this, you know what I mean? Like, these are great ideas. And it was like, yo, wow. Like, he was doing this shit just out of pocket.
And that's the thing that comes across with EFN. Even though he seems to be a little bit in Nori's shadow, obviously, because everyone knows Nori, and Nori's a joker, and he's great at what he does, but I know that EFN is the brains behind it, yeah?
And you are one. Like, bro, I get tired of explaining that. Yeah. I'm like, yo, bro.
You can tell. If you know what's going on and you watch the show, you can tell he's the brains.
I've had people be like, oh, why is he even on that show? I was like, because there would be no show. What are you talking about? Like,
and his passion comes through as well. Yeah. Like, in the questions he asks, and when he does get, you know, when he's
when
more
he gets
involved.
Heated.
Yeah, exactly. It's dope, man. But this isn't the EFN podcast. Sure. It's the Scam 2 podcast. And what you might know him from is this album right here. Yeah. Slim Shady. Now, if we pull out the inside cover, the artwork, you see, I'm going to put it on the screen anyway, so you guys will see.
Yeah, but that comes good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The famous pill, the Vicodin. Nang, nang, nang. All the Eminem lyrics.
Shit, I didn't even know what a Vicodin was. I didn't even know how to spell it.
We didn't know it either here in England. I was like, what the fuck is that? Vicodin?
I had no idea. I was like, oh shit, did I spell that right?
No, see, real talk, I thought you lot were all doing shrooms and
I'm the sober guy.
Yeah, okay. I know that, but back
he's a little
in the days,
older
I
than me, you know what I mean?
These are fat trailer park women, yeah?
Yeah. Love trailer park girls around or outside.
Yo, Scam, I was wondering, would you be willing to sign that for me, man?
Oh, yeah, man, for sure.
Yo, here you go. There's a Sharpie. I got this thing.
What do you want me to sign?
On the sleeve or on the inside?
Well, maybe on the artwork bit, you know what I mean? On Eminem's face there, just fucking.
Chill.
I'm kidding, man. But that would be ill, man, for my collection. Amber. I write Amber, that's by the way. Crazy. So if you want to put an Amber in there, feel free, man. So yeah, he did the artwork for that and for the Tribe Called Quest one and for many other people. I know you did a lot of artwork for
the Tribe Called Quest. For DJ, it was one of the craziest things when it came out. Everyone and was chatting about the artwork as much as the music.
Not just the album cover.
Sorry.
Like. Yeah, you got to eat the mic. Just grab it. Grab it and hold it up to you.
When that you dropped.
Amber. A-M-B-A.
I was going to spell wanker then. It would be so good if we put it down.
Yes, yes.
Yo, check 1, 2, follow me.
That's it.
Boom.
Big there up. Thank you, brother.
Can I put it like this and sort of sit into the table?
Yeah. As long as you're talking to the damn thing, you'll be all right.
Thanks for the support, asshole. I like it. I like it a lot, man. Man, like, incredible. I mean, we might as well start there.
Your styles, they're very... We thought that you would have a graffiti background. I think anybody
would
think that.
In a way, I do, but it's not how people think. Like, when we came to America, we moved to Brooklyn. And that was like...
From?
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Yeah. Okay. That was, and people were breakdancing on cardboard and linoleum, boom boxes.
Deep.
And... I remember being a kid and, like, on the way to school, I would look over, like, at some of the overpass, or, you know, like, we stayed by the D train, and we just watched, the pieces on the trains. And so it was a very prevalent, influential thing for me. Mm. But I didn't know anything about, like, I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like,
how old were you? What decade is it? 80s, 90s?
Yeah, this
is
Brooklyn 80s, when?
80s. This is Brooklyn.
Early
in the
80s. Mid-80s, yeah.
There's a lot of shit going on.
Did you not watch those movies, Star Wars and Wild then, Style?
Then? Not then. No, oh, I didn't know shit about any of that.
But were you drawing back then? Like,
yeah, I started drawing like probably like around when I was like maybe like 4. Like I was like.
Right.
Somewhere between, there was some point where I realized like, oh shit, I can draw. And I just kind of was just on it since, you know what I mean? My dad like loaded me up with all these comics and that was just kind of like, that was kind of it for me. Like,
so
just,
I'd think was, probably more.
Was that a major focus? The comics?
Thing? That's what I was going to say.
Was it cartoons and stuff? Like, were there, yeah, what I were would your visual say, stimulants? And
comics and graffiti. Okay. Cause back then, I mean, you know, everybody was a kid, like kids try to draw like, bubble letters and all that shit.
Or for Spider-Mans us, and shit as well,
I would say probably, I was probably more enamored with graffiti than comics.
Especially at that time.
Because Brooklyn as well, we're talking Brooklyn in the 80s.
Yeah, and
were
so...
Were you focusing on lettering or characters or anything?
I didn't have a focus. It was just, it was all like, kind of like, I could see something and feel like, yo, I want to do some shit like that.
Yeah,
you know, there was no end goal.
At that time, when you're a kid, I remember at school when I first discovered that, like, obviously I'm not at your level, but I could draw. Yeah. When I realized that I could draw well was when other kids in my class would ask me to draw stuff for them. You know, like, oh, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for example, I could just draw them from memory at one point. And then someone would go, yo, could you do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but as a, like a different animal? He'd be like, as rhinos instead of turtles. And I'd be like, all right, cool. And I'd draw them out. And then he'd be like, oh, no, do one for me, man. Oh, yeah, do one. And then like, you know, in the school, I'd draw loads of shit for people.
Everybody would be like, yo, that's the guy. Yo, boom.
When did you recognize that you...
could draw?
Well, more so than your peers or the people around
my
you at the
peers,
time. Or, like when you had that skill had when you gift. Found out. Yeah, gift.
I don't think I ever really focused on what... other people could do.
Okay.
Because I know you were just smoking them. He doesn't even look at them, man. Those guys. Fuck. Who the fuck are those guys?
I think the stains on the road.
I think I was just... My only level of comparison was... It's not even a level of comparison because I'm looking at, you know, people throwing up pieces and like crazy, like just dope shit. So,
can you think of any names of people that you were looking at?
I was a kid. I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't even know.
Like,
that's what I'm trying to get. How? What is it? What's a kid? How old were you?
Eat the mic, man.
In the '80s.
Fuck.
Are you like 13?
Single
14?
Digits, man.
Single digits.
Not even. I was single digits, man.
Please,
just
give him the camera and just hold
on. I was like, sorry.
First he's pushing me in the mic, then he's pulling me away from
it. I'm trying to say, tilt the mic, bro.
Yeah, man. I feel like I want to say between like 6 and 9.
Okay.
Some shit like that.
How long were you in Brooklyn for?
maybe from like 4 to 9.
Okay.
Something like that. And then I went to Miami.
Then Miami.
So it was young, 4 to 9.
Yeah, man. Okay. I was. I think I left New York in like third grade or after third grade or some shit like that.
What's that shit like? I've always thought that about you guys, you Americans, yeah. You're still chilling in your country. You're in New York. It's fucking shit cold in the winter. You're fucked. You're like puffer jackets and Timberlands. And then you stay in your same motherfucking country. You're like, let's go to Miami. Let's go to the tropical, the Caribbean.
Everybody doesn't
difference.
Do that, though. There are a lot of people that never leave their neighborhoods.
It's nuts, though.
There are a lot of people in New York that don't even go to other shit in New York. I'll be like, yo.
We got that in London as well. But there's like ghetto kids, you know, people who can't, they don't see anything else apart from that shit.
But sometimes they don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want.
So that they have it in their head that only certain kinds of people do certain things.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the, so, you know, being a Caribbean, I think there's a different mindset from Black Americans for us, so you know, because there's a lot of history, a lot of painful history for a lot of them, and some, you know, sometimes I don't even think they fully understand why their environment, you know, people move the way they do. They just accept it, like, this is how we
everything
move.
We see is it that's what
and
it is.
But for me, so me getting there, like Jamaica, I never
you'd
starved.
Been in Jamaica to do like, what, 4?
Yeah.
So you'd seen Caribbean lifestyle, sun, beautiful beaches, da, 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 and then you went to New York, and then you went back to Miami.
Not back to Miami.
I mean,
back to Miami.
Towards the Caribbean. Yeah.
Not far. But I didn't even know it was that, because we're over the years, like I think there just became a big Caribbean boom. Mm. But I remember like neighborhoods we lived in when we first moved, there was plenty of white people. But like now it's like, it's like living in the Caribbean.
But you see the difference. Like, imagine getting on the plane in England, flying for 6-7 hours, landing in England, and it's completely different. Yeah. Like, it's a different fucking
life.
Yeah, like
you're in
life.
That's why.
Yeah. Everyone speaks Spanish in Miami.
No, man.
No?
There's a lot of Latin people, but they're places that just, like, you can be born, live your life, and die and never have to learn English for sure. But, you know, there are other places too.
But we have the same thing here, theme.
Yeah,
we have Cornwall. No, we have Europe.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
It's a very huge different aspect in that no one speaks the same language. So you go to Germany, you go to France, you go to Bolivia, you go to Russia, you go to Greece, you can't say shit. These guys are going to, like, from Canada to fucking Miami.
I get that's the same country. And that's why a lot of people in
America...
The
same money, the same... I would be going, I'd be getting off the plane and go, Mom! Look at fucking this. This is it. We're staying in
New York.
What the fuck are we doing in New York?
Although Florida has its own reputation as
well.
Just like retiring and dying.
I'm not from Florida. I'm from Miami.
Yeah. From Miami, baby.
That's a fucking different place altogether.
Completely different, right?
Let me tell you something. When I had to drive up out that bitch,
I'm
not even fucking with that shit, man.
Through the
like
keys.
When it was COVID, I was on some shit like, all right, I'm not even... I'll go to the rest stop, take a piss. My girl would like pack me a meal, and I would just eat in the car, go to the gas pump, take a piss. That's all I was doing. Like, so you end up sometimes in some places, I'd be like,
what the fuck is this?
It's like straight Trump land. Like, nah,
exactly.
I ain't fucking.
I was
with gonna
you. Say what's going on
like,
in America
yeah,
now.
Hats and just swamps and alligators
but
and
how,
shit.
But how about this shit? Let me fuck your head up. So. You know, we got this, like, interesting phenomena. I'm sure you have it here, too. Like, people that are fucking probably completely fucking racist. Mm-hmm. But love rap music.
Yeah. Lots of that.
And athletes.
Like, I could meet, like, think about this. Like, I could probably end up in some, like, so crazy MAGA-loving situation. And, oh, that's fucking blah, blah, that monkey, blah, blah. But then somebody be like, yo, this guy did the Eminem art. What? Come on over here, man.
Yeah.
Come on, have a drink with us. They're probably about to fucking try to rope me up 5 minutes ago.
Bro, this is a perfect segue because I mentioned to you before that we brought up Eminem when he did the abracadabra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a take, yeah? And I made a little clip out of it as well. And I was saying how, because I love Eminem, rated him when he first came out, you know what I mean? I thought he was amazing. But now, when I speak to people who say they love hip hop, no. When someone says to me, Eminem is the greatest rapper of all time, for me, I think one of two things. One, that person doesn't know much about hip hop.
Did you guys post something about
that? Yes.
Okay.
Maybe Harry shared it with you.
Clip.
I don't know. Yeah. And then the second thing, either they don't know much about hip hop or they're a little bit racist. That was my kind
of
take.
Bro. Now, yeah, see, I think there's a difference from saying the greatest of all time and saying he's your favorite. Like, yeah. I think some people don't make the distinction.
Well, that's the thing. That's
people
the thing.
Are so egocentric.
Yeah.
Well, you said blinkers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Blinkers.
So, yeah. You know, that's a. I remember at one point, that was my narrative, but it was not. It was not from an emotional or a preferential state. It was strictly from a analytical, by numbers sort of thing. And some people just. They don't like it.
Yeah, they don't think in those terms.
But they couldn't disprove what I was saying. And, you know what I mean? I'm like, yo, if you like who you like, cool. But if you want to talk about who's the fucking best or whatever, like, okay, let's fucking get into it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, this ain't, like who I would say is the best now isn't somebody I get up and I'm like, yo, I need to listen to this every day. Like, I don't. But when I listen to him, I'm like, man... This is shit, man. This guy's fucking
prodigy.
But it's not, you know what I mean? Like, for me, it's pound for pound, it's fucking Jay-Z.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've seen videos of Jay-Z saying that Eminem, I've seen Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, and maybe The Game. Maybe.
They'd say he's one of the best. They won't say he is the best. No, they'd say he's one of the best.
Saying that M is the best rapper of all time.
Oh, so
on like YouTube or some shit.
But you know, some guys.
What metric are we going by? Because you've got.
But that's the thing. So
all this different shit.
Like, some people don't have a metric. It's just.
Just what I feel like
their feel.
I think Busta Rhymes,
that's fine.
Could eat them all.
But I think people got to understand the distinction.
There's subjective and objective.
Right.
And it's difficult to think objectively.
So I'm an asshole about the shit. Yeah. At least I've been told. So I'm like, okay, like if you want to do the numbers shit, Jay's up there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Without a doubt.
If you want to do this, so this is the thing where I think he has everybody.
Yeah.
He's taken you with him
on
his journey through life.
Yeah.
This is what he was on, you know what I mean? He was on
with
college radio with the Reasonable Doubt shit. You know what I mean? Can't Knock the Hustle.
But even before that, with Jazzo, when he was doing this skibbity dibbity dibbity stuff.
Yeah, and Can I Get
But he didn't have a didn't have an album out at that time.
Yeah, no.
So as far as
a commercial hit shit.
His stuff.
And I got into an argument with Em and Royce. Not like a argument, but we were going back and forth. And remember, I'm younger. So I was like, Jay-Z, whatever, bro. Like, you know, like I wasn't on that. Like, I was really on my stretch and bob.
They were arguing for Jay-Z.
Yeah, they were like, not who's the best.
Mm.
And this was when they were recording the Bad Meets Evil stuff, and we were in like a Times Square McDonald's, and so they were like, well, what Jay-Z songs do you know? And I, at the time, like, I knew like two things. I forgot what the first
the
one was.
It. I'm feeling it.
Nah, before that, like it was like his college radio. The first one he was like really running on college radio.
It's a hard not like.
No, that's after.
No.
I don't know if it was Dead Presidents. I think it was
Dead
Presidents.
Dead Presidents to represent me.
Right, and I was just like, you know, he was talking all that money shit, and I was just like, nah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they was like.
So they were arguing from back then that he was the
best. But they were coming from a more knowledgeable standpoint, in which they taught me something that day. So they were like, okay, like they didn't get on me. They didn't jump on my head about it. They were just like, well, what Jay-Z songs do you know? And I really didn't know any. I just knew those two songs.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, have you heard this? I'm like, no. They were like, have you heard this? And it was like, well, how you even gonna say that when you don't know? And so from that point on, I made it my policy before I start talking my shit, I gotta know what the fuck I'm talking about. And what's ironically happened is
it's a good policy
that made me. Guys, like when T.I. was talking that King of the South shit, I was like, what? I was like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? But then I started listening to him. I was like, oh, he's nasty. I was like, I don't know about the King of the South shit, but he's nice. He's nice.
See, like, I had a chat with Pharoah Munch and we were talking about
M. He's my favorite, Pharoah Munch.
Yeah, I mean, we're on the topic of MC shit, what makes someone great. And
for
whatnot,
sure.
Right? And so you've talked about the thing that Jay's taken us on the journey and stuff like that, but we can boil it down to all different areas, right? You know, lyricism, skills, and wordplay, and
different flows,
and also
different
songwriting,
kinds of beats,
spacing.
And if you even want to go
actual spacing, because Munch's list of influences was so interesting that I've asked a few different people and got completely surprising answers. Like when I asked Pusha T and Malice, it's the first time I'm telling this story as well.
Go for it.
Pusha T and Malice. James. I was like, after a couple of years of touring or whatever, I was like, right, what is the key influence between you two? Because they both, like, Malice is the older brother, so Push looks up to Malice. And so, he always talks about Juice Crew and all that sort of shit. And, yeah, he always talks about Juice Crew because they grew up in I think, Harlem.
Oh, wow.
I think they
really?
Started off in Harlem. They started off in New York anyway, and then they went to to Virginia afterwards. So then they were in high school with Timbaland.
Pharrell, yeah, all those guys like lived within like...
Yeah, Virginia Beach, right?
Like a very short radius of each other.
They had all... So but apparently like, Timbaland was the sort of school... He was the guy making beats. It's kind of like what I was doing at my, in Holland Park and all that sort of shit. Be the guy that everyone goes, Kaiser you're rapping now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go around to his house and do, he'll do beats or whatever. So their influence. Anyway, we had this conversation and I asked them. They were like, guess. I was like, Cool G Rap. Nope.
No?
NWA.
Nope.
I'm stumped.
Yeah.
They went fucking looking at the front door, main source.
Oh, wow.
What? I was like, exactly. I was like, you're fucking yanking my chain.
Damn.
Because you were taking a piss out of me for, like, where's your, they were going, where's your Africa medallion when they had me playing like certain boom bap tracks or whatever and opening up or whatever.
Yeah,
when are you going to pull out your beads and shit? Like,
damn.
So I thought they were yanking my chain.
The native tongue shit.
And they were like, no. And then they rapped the whole fucking verse. They were like, no, it's him telling the story of this guy. In this, he's like, listen to, he made a perfect song about that situation.
Yeah.
Now that's whether they were yanking my chain, but to this day, that's what they told me in that moment.
That
was a very surprising.
That is surprising.
The influential thing.
I give you a double fun fact related to that.
Yeah.
So, I art directed this Brand Nubian music video when I was like 16 or some shit like that. And I say art directed because it just sounds good.
Which one?
Word is Bond.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Like, I did all the art stuff that was needed for that video.
No way.
And so the link to that was Krim, my cousin from Jigmasters, the mother of his kid was friends with the mother of Lord Jamar's kid or one of his kids.
Wow.
And I was the girl from the Looking at the Front Door video.
Oh, no! Shit. That's crazy how that's linked up.
And I didn't know that at the time. Like, I just found out all that stuff.
Wow.
But what was crazy was Lord Jamar, like, the director did not want to hire me because I was so young.
Yeah.
And he was just like, nah, he's got it. And Jay didn't even really know me. And I was just like, whoa. I felt crazy. Like, oh, shit, I really got to
step
you
up.
You know what I mean? I got to do it. This. You know what I mean? She was on me, bro. She did not want to hire. Cause y'all think about it. Like, you're fucking directing a music video for a legacy rap group, like in a major label, and there's a 16-year-old in charge of all the art shit. Like, I was like maybe 16, 17, some shit like that. But she was like, nah. Jay was like, nah, you got it. It's good.
That
shout out
ill.
To Lord Jay.
Yeah. Lord Jamar did it. He mentored Artifacts as well. I kind of. Learned that.
Doug, fucking Dead. He got Dead Prez the deal.
That's
how I met Dead Prez. Was at Lord Jamar's apartment.
Yeah.
I did a logo for them. I mean, they didn't use it or whatever have you, but that's how I met those guys, bro. Those guys, when they came to New York, they came from Tallahassee, and they were like sleeping in the YMCA, like the whole shit. Like they was about it.
So that X is one of my favorite voices in hip hop, man.
The great X.
Yeah. And I was saying, we had Diamond D on the show and, obviously he made that punks jump up to get beat down. And man, that's crazy, that link there with Lord Jamar, man.
Yeah, I used to just hang out. That's probably shit, man. I think that's why I probably still don't even eat pork to this day. People are like, why don't you eat pork? Is it religious? I'll be like, nah. I was just hanging out with a bunch of people that
eat pork. It's a filthy animal, brand new
video. Khalas. Pork is haram.
Yeah. Please. Haram, son.
You know, did you know, how old were you when that Beats, Rhymes, and Life shit came out? Because I was like fucking... I'm 43 now. I must have been a teenager, no?
How old was
Did
I?
You realize how big that shit was? Because do you remember when
I was
out?
I was 19 when I did it.
Oh,
I was 18 when I did it. 19 when it came out. I know, bruv.
Like, so when you took that job on, because you were using an aesthetic that had already been established through the previous.
That he did not want to use anymore.
Oh. That he didn't want to use. So yeah, explain that. Like, what was
all right, so, you know, because I skate. So at the time, you know, I was in New York. And I had like a crazy phone book. And I was just like, you know, like tapping with people all the time. Just not even like really, like just, I was just tapping in. Like, yo, what up? And it was a homie, man, I just can't remember his fucking name. But I always tell this story. He worked at Epic Records. And this guy would always like, you know, he knew I was into rock and shit. So he would give me like records. Yeah, he gave me a bunch of records that I didn't know who the fuck they were. He gave me like Rage Against the Machine, Korn, Hole. I was like, I had no idea who any of those groups were. He was just like, yo, these are like the hot things, like here. And I didn't even listen to those albums till I was working on the Tribe album because I ran out of music to listen to. And I was just like, what the fuck is this? But anyway, so homie was like, I think I was like heading to Midtown, or I got into Midtown, just was like went up there. And he's like, yo, I'm going to the Jizza Liquid Swords listening party. You want to go? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to go. Hell yeah, I want to go. You know, skaters love Wu-Tang, and the Jizza was such an anticipated album, especially in the skate community.
And for the children.
I went there, and, you know, I was young, so I wasn't even old enough to be in the spot. So,
wow.
You know, I had my skateboard in the backpack. I was looking real young, so I had to, like stash the skateboard and shit. And whatever. And it wasn't even like a big party. It was really like, if you were there, like you were supposed to be there sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I look up and I see the RZA talking to Q-Tip. And I'm just like, oh, all right. Mm-hmm. But that was my thing.
This is the kind of party I'm at.
That's all I did, man. I went, I was just hustle. I would just run up on people with my artwork. Like, yo, what's up? Like, check out my shit. And so
it's before social media, all that stuff, you can do that online.
Yeah, no, you had to deal with bouncers, you had to deal with managers.
Q-Tip. And you just went up to him and said,
yeah, no, I never met any of those guys.
He's in this industry party, with a small
but
group.
but it's still big cojones.
Of course, yeah. It's still,
well, I mean, but that's, you know, man, my mom told me from when I was young, don't idolize anybody. So I just, my shit's simple, like, yo, if you need what I do, I'm not coming to you trying to get a record deal.
Yeah.
Like, I have something that might be of use to you. So it's kind of easy. You know what I mean? And people don't really, they look at someone that does art a little different. Also, I'm younger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't stupid, but I was younger. So,
but a lot of people got into hip hop in this country, in my generation, because of that album's artwork. And really? Then the album's music added to it, so it made the whole package. Oh shit, the whole thing is the bomb.
And you know, and man,
it stood out so much. And thank I was just you. Wondering if you knew that. Because people love that. Because,
yo, listen, bro, I don't even like dealing with major labels. They treat the fucking musical artists like shit. Yeah. And they treat visual artists like the shit underneath shit.
Mm-hmm. If you can't make money for them, then they're not fucking bothered.
Bro, we could talk all day about that shit.
I bet.
But just generally speaking, you know, I went up to him and RZA gave me the number for Wu-Tang office. I was like, all right, cool. I really more so wanted to do some Wu-Tang shit. Art.
Yeah.
But
and that would suit your style.
And honestly, like, I just go. I don't expect anything. Mm-hmm. And Tip was like, we need an album cover yesterday. Wow. And I was just like, oh, word. I was like, oh, shit. But then he goes, yeah, I want to get rid of everything. I want to do something completely different. I don't want to do the lady. I want to change the logo. And I was just like,
damn.
I was like, yo, this dude's tripping. Yeah. Like, I was like, that's perfection. Like, why would you? And so he gave me the, you know, he was like, gave me the shit. But I had like 2 weeks to fucking,
wow,
2 weeks a week.
Quick. Was there much back and forth?
Oh, no, I couldn't come up with anything.
What do you mean?
Like, I was supposed to go to a meeting. Remember, he said he wanted to get rid of everything. What do I do for Tribe Called Quest?
Just like, you got like, full summon
like,
out your ass.
What are you talking about? Like, this is after Midnight Marauders. Yeah, this was arguably the most anticipated album in all of hip hop at this point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I was just like, you know, and then I was like, what the fuck? But in my mind, I'm saying, what the fuck? But outside, I'm just like, Got you.
Yeah, yeah, no problem.
You know, I'm walking away like, what the fuck? So,
yeah.
I'm on the phone with dude, you know what I mean? And he's just like, yo, you, I'm like, nah, I couldn't come up with nothing. And oh, he's like, you just hear the wind come out. Oh, for real? And I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, well, we'll just come to the meeting anyway. I'm like, all right. So I like, while I'm on the phone with him, I'm doodling.
No way.
So I go to the meeting and I take the doodle.
No way.
And he's like, I was like, well, he said, yo, you couldn't come up with him? I was like, nah, but I mean, I did this while we were on the phone. And he's like, he looks at it. He's like, well, I like it, but you don't like it? I was like,
what, I like it. Just a black pen?
I was like, I like it. He's like, I like it. So that's what ended up being the cover.
Wow, because it's like a city scene, right? And there's the red and green.
Yeah, and there's the thing, but like on the humanoid thing coming. Yeah.
Now a tribe, right? Is what's not.
Well, yeah. Okay. So the breakdown of when he explained it to me, like the woman on the cover is representational of the music. So a woman is a thing of beauty. So their music is a thing of beauty, derived of Afrocentric rhythms. Hence the black, red, and green.
Mm-hmm. And the zebra pattern, I realized it is as well.
Sure. Yeah. I ended up doing that, and it was, because it was called Beats, Rhymes, and Life. So I kind of looked at it like the beats and rhymes were the lady, and life was chaotic. Mm-hmm. So that's what that whole shit is. So if you look, and I was young, man. I did this, like, so there's like there's a billboard on there, and I put like Free Scam and Shadow Man on there on the cover. And on the Eminem album, I did Free Scam and Shadow on the fucking trailer, but they edited it to say Free Slim Shady, which it worked out pretty good the way they did it, yeah, to be honest. But like now, as I'm older, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, I was a kid. I was just like,
putting Scam in there.
Right? I just want my props. But, I was
but that's
like,
graph. That's the graph mentality. trying to get up.
No, I love that. So yeah. Part of the thing I loved as a consumer of that art.
Yeah. So like, boom.
I was like, any so little cool that he's put his shit.
So like, if you look at the fucking, like, if you get to see the full unadulterated artwork.
I had the wall poster, bro. For the wall. Wow. It was like 2x3.
Yeah, I ain't had none of that shit. I didn't get a plaque. I didn't get the fucking album.
No.
I didn't get none of those holograph ones.
You didn't get the album sent to you.
Bro, I got one sent to me from the label, like a promo one, and the corner was bent.
Oh.
All the copies of that album I got was for some random dude who just had like fucking 30 of them.
Shit.
And he was like, you don't have copies of this album? And he's like, what? Yeah. He just fucking, he gave me
Can
a book.
Can you believe this shit?
It shows
Can
you how
you
fickle.
Say that again.
How fickle this business
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't send Scam 2 a fucking copy of the album.
The album that he fucking made.
Boy,
all right. Jesus. Industry bro, rule.
The only
number
thing.
Number 4080.
To Shady as well.
The only thing on that album that wasn't my artwork was like a photo of their fucking faces.
Yeah.
Everything else was my artwork. And I was like, I didn't get a plaque. I didn't get
and other the Mardi
people
Gras EP.
Then I'm like, what the fuck did you even do for this album? They got fucking plaques.
Jesus.
You did the Mardi Gras EP as well.
Nah.
That's not you. Mm-mm. So what? Who did that then?
I mean, they might have took some of the artwork. I know they repurposed some artwork for.
Yeah, I
for
think
some
it was
stuff.
Repurposed.
Yeah, yeah,
you did,
yeah.
You did the characters. Where
yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's. Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
That's.
So the Mardi Gras EP is those characters.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I think
on
they,
some sort of skate landscape like.
That's the insert art, maybe.
Really.
Yeah. So basically, okay. So what it is like.
See, now it's clearing.
So yeah. if you look at the cover. If you see the unadulterated cover, like I tagged up like all these homies, like
yeah.
There's a dude named Doper from Miami. I forgot what the name of his crew was, but KOI, I think it was. And I tagged him up. I tagged up like homies that worked at Supreme. I put Supreme. Like that was when Supreme was like a skate
just
shop.
Yeah.
It was like a real deal skate shop. You know what I mean? That was the meeting point. And I tagged up. And now, like, and I'm older, I'm like, whoa, what the fuck was I on? Like, I was just like, I just made it to like, yo, I was a kid. And, you know, I look at that shit like, oh, I wonder if they were like, oh, fuck, this kid's an asshole. Like, what is he doing?
Nah,
you know what I mean?
That's beautiful things.
I tagged up Spino on that shit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think
because that's totally the thing I would do, man. I would just try and sly little things in there in the background and shit.
Now, granted, like, if somebody was just like, hey, man, you know, I would have been like, oh, shit. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I almost didn't even do that job, honestly. Like, the pay was not good.
I was going to ask how much you got paid, but yeah, it's a bit of a rude question.
Ah, man, back then, I want to say maybe like $2,000 or something, and I got reimbursed for shit I bought, but that's nothing, man. I was making that just for one fucking logo back then.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do it. My mom and my friend were like, yo, you should do it. You should do it. And I was just like.
And obviously the Tribe name, and like you said, it was one of the most anticipated albums.
I didn't care about that.
Yeah, okay.
My mom is smart enough. Like I was very like, I don't like being taken advantage of, and you know, like that doesn't work in the game. I didn't deal with the label. I dealt with Tip directly, but I don't have a problem walking away from some shit.
And one of the hardest things, especially in the creative industry, when you just want to get your shit out there and create and do cool shit, people don't know their own worth. They'll do shit for free, go, oh, like, you know, to help a homie or do whatever. But your work, what you're doing is worth fucking money, man. Should be getting paid.
One of the major money spinners is merch.
Yeah.
Not everyone wants a fucking...
You got to talk to the mic, Harry.
Yeah, motherfucker.
One of the major money spinners is merch. So everyone wants a t-shirt with that image or whatever. And if they're underplaying that, that's blatant piss take.
That's why I don't like dealing with major labels. They want everything and they don't want to pay shit.
Yeah.
They want to own it, but listen, there's a price to own it. Like, there's a price for you to use it. You can license this shit to somebody. But like I said, I used to look at the Graphics Artists Guild handbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to look at these things, like the going rates for certain, or, you know, what should be kind of like industry standard ranges for certain things. And that's how I knew the money was not good.
Mm, yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things that you make that decision, like, okay, the money versus, like, if you're fortunate, you can have that pivotal decision to make, like, oh, do I do this? And you don't know what the fuck the future is going to hold.
No.
I did it. I didn't know. I don't even know if I've listened to that album, to be honest.
Which one?
Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
What?
Nah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't believe that, man.
Believe it.
Shit. That's one of my favorites.
Get to know me.
Jeez, Louise.
To know me.
I can believe it. I can believe it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Midnight Marauder is like,
incredible.
Backwards and forwards. Low End Theory. Love
just
that shit.
Noticed, you didn't put a Scam tag. You got to put a Scam 2.
Oh, shit.
You
got to
put a Scam 2 on there. Shit, yeah, I just noticed
my
that.
My bad.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, just Scam 2. Asshole.
Fucking
like, you were going to say.
You made Beats, Rhymes, and Life, which is an album that was finally one of those things where if you bought it, the artwork was sick and the music was sick. The whole thing was sick. Everyone was really pleased about it. And you haven't listened to it.
No.
He's definitely listened to it. I'm sorry. I don't believe you, man.
I didn't listen
it's
to
ill fucking
I didn't listen to State of Lunacy either.
You listened to Rage Against the Machine when that guy gave you Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah.
Eventually.
Did you listen to that?
Of course. Of course I did.
I barely listened to it.
So if you grew up in
I know.
Now
I don't think I've listened to it in
I don't really
full.
Listen to M2
when it came out. I was banging on it. I mean, we discussed this on that pod I told you when we mentioned about M.
Listen, man.
You know, we don't have to go into that.
When that shit came out.
Yeah.
Well, I already knew like half the songs. I remember going into Paul's office and he played me My Name Is, and like he told me he dyed his hair platinum blonde, and I was just like,
oh shit.
What? I was like, oh, he's hitting that L.A. shit hard.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, that's fucking wild. Platinum blonde. Like, what the fuck? And I was like, I couldn't even imagine it. And then then he played me My Name Is on a cassette.
Oh, shit. Yeah, on a cassette. Cassette tapes.
Yeah, he played me songs on a cassette. Like, originally, they had a bunch of drops that they were going to use for the album. Like, I had a drop, and he had drops from all these different people. But inevitably, they didn't use them.
Mm.
And he played me My Name Is, and I was just like, I don't know about that one.
Rah, you went
for it. I was like, I don't know. But, like, I was in Miami when the video dropped, like, it premiered, and it was just like, it was wild. It was just like, to see the homie, like, oh, shit. Like, I had no idea what, I knew he was going to be, you know what I mean? Like, I knew he had that thing. But when I saw the video, I was like, oh, I get it now. It makes sense now.
I got two questions for you. One is how you even
two?
Linked. Yeah. How you linked with him, because you said you were coming from Miami. But then also, because you did a couple tracks with him beforehand. Obviously, he had that first album before Slim Shady, Infinite.
Yeah. No, I didn't know him when he did Infinite.
But a lot of his shit was quite hardcore, very graphic, quite violent lyrics.
On Infinite?
Or
you mean Slim Shady EP?
Yeah, like
Slim Shady EP, and when he was doing all the freestyles.
I'm thinking, because you said he was linking with Dr. Dre, and obviously you knew it was going to be a big, like a lot of money behind it and a machine behind it.
I just knew it was big because, like, I come from, I didn't get into like hip hop like that till like high school.
Okay.
But I come from like punk rock and metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the energy, the vibe, and I just kind of felt like he was going to be like that voice. Not necessarily, not in my head like, oh, he's going to be the voice for the fucking white kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he wasn't the first white rapper.
No. Nah.
You know, but I thought he was.
MC Search. Sorry, I'm just kidding.
It was the energy of like those kids that just, the misfits.
There was a point that didn't fit in, you know,
angst, the anger.
But that was quite similar to like a punk crowd, the original punk. Right.
And I felt like that was like nobody, people. If we do it, so here's the thing. Like a black person could kick all those same rhymes, it's just not received the same. So like I have this.
You mentioned RZA earlier. Gravediggers came out before the Slim Shady LP. And they were talking about, burying his baby mama and violent shit.
But I think
Biggie was as well.
And Biggie
was so here's the thing. Like, he does it. One, he has like the nasal pitch to it. So he doesn't sound like, like a rough black guy.
My name's Nine.
So it's that. And there's a bit of a vulnerability to it because he'll say self-deprecating things.
Yes.
And black artists largely don't do that.
You're right.
And I think largely it's not accepted. Like on a subconscious level, I think like there are a lot of people, like there are a lot of white people that they're just like, oh, you know, black guys. Like there's just this whole unwritten thing.
That's such a good white person impression.
Like black guys are cool.
You know, white guys, you know those white guys.
Like it's this whole thing. Like we all know how to fucking dance and play basketball and shit. Like none of us are fucking weirdos and misfits too. So it's just these weird little idioms of society. So like he did it, but like you can't just gloss over the fact that we can't act like he was regular. He was not regular. Like I've literally been walking around with him and he just a fucking line pops up into his head. You know that line where he's got like, I walk awkward like a midget with a ladder in his back pocket. We were walking across the street in LA and he said that shit. And then I remember when I heard, and he was like, he said it and he laughed. I was like, that's crazy. And then, you know, I remember hearing it on track. Oh, I remember that line. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I would call him up and be like, yo, let me hear a verse. And, you know, we would do that, like, like that. And then he would say some shit. I'd be like, fuck. Because those guys were ahead of me. You know what I mean? Like, him and Proof taught me what compounds were. And they had, like, terminology. Like, those guys were cheating rhyming like math.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at. So sometimes I get into, you know, talking fucking rap with people, and I'm just like, you guys are simpletons. Like, you know.
This is why I wanted you to talk more about.
You know what I mean? Like, some guys can't even fucking count bars. You know what I mean? I got into a fucking big argument in the studio the other day with a producer because I was like, yo, can I hear this as a 3/4 instead of a 1/4? And he was like, what? What are you talking about?
Oh, man.
And then he was like, it was just this whole thing. And he was just like, all right.
But then again, I mean, there's the intricacies of music and the which people can develop and learn. And what I love about hip hop is a lot of the early masters weren't classically trained in music. They didn't even know how to didn't even know what a C is. You know, they were taking parents' records. Yeah, they were taking their parents' records, chopping them up and making beats. And then it became what it became, you know, and then eventually they learned and whatever, you know. So I kind of like that ignorance to a certain degree. That's how new shit comes from, you know, to a degree. But if you're in a studio and you're paying money and you're supposed to be a bona fide producer, then you should fucking know what a bar is. You know?
I mean, listen, man, there are a lot of rappers that don't even know how to read.
Yeah.
They don't know how to read. So, you know, unfortunately, rap is like one of those. I'm not even going to say unfortunately. It just, ironically, it's just like one of those things, man. Like, some people come in and they just got it. They just got the gift. And some people don't. Like, you look at certain albums, like Old Dirty Bastard.
Mm.
like if we were to really like if someone just brought us that album in text, we'd be like,
what is
bad, bad Leroy Brown? But I mean, those weren't his lyrics, but
yeah, I know.
Like, but other things, like, it wouldn't read
like
well.
Salamander.
It wouldn't read, but his delivery and execution.
You wouldn't be able to imagine that.
And let's even go deeper. The RZA.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say probably greatest hip hop producer.
He's up there, but.
Now, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Though. Go.
One, he cherry picked Wu-Tang.
Mm.
Each one of those guys,
yeah,
stellar. I mean, not all of them, but
for, I heard he, the folklore is that he told them all come to the studio and but bring $100 each to pay for the studio, and whoever came with the money, they were in Wu-Tang.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's
but
the
again,
truth,
I don't know.
Hey, Sarah,
I don't know these
but
people.
But it also works because those, you know, I mean, those were the right guys. I don't know. So let's just say,
yeah, sorry.
Name a producer that you think could have put together that fucking Old Dirty Bastard album.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody could have put that shit together. But, I mean, that was also his cousin. So he knew his guy. But,
yeah.
Me and a homie had a debate about this because when they were doing that, the RZA versus Primo thing. So he started going down the discography of RZA. And RZA did a lot of tracks that I did not know RZA did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, shit, for real? And then I started thinking about the fact, like, how all of those Wu-Tang albums sounded completely fucking different.
Yes.
Yep.
He had the
like
characters.
So,
of all those,
so when you, so yeah. if we're going to say, I'm going to say to you, well, who do you think is the best? Do you think he could have did that?
Well, I was going to bring up DJ Premier because of what he did with Group Home. Group Home, the story behind that is that he had two mates who were about to go to prison, but they were rappers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, look, no, he was saying to the judge, look, if they work, as in work on this album with me, then keep them out
of
jail.
That's crazy. I never heard that story.
Yeah. And so he had those, you know, Lil Dap and what's the other one? Nutcracker.
Malachi the Nutcracker.
So he had them in the studio and he got them out because they were in and out of prison, you know what I mean, doing
that's
crazy shit.
Oh, hence the name.
Then,
okay.
And so he got them to make this album. And it's quite largely known as
Malachi's legal guardian at some point.
Exactly. And so he was taking them off the street.
That's wild.
And then... Yeah. And so they're known, I mean, no disrespect, obviously, big up Group Home, but they're not known to be the best lyricists and best rappers, but Primo took them two kids and made that fucking album, which is a classic.
Right. Now,
and I'm not saying, and I'm not even taking away from Old Dirty Bastard, because Old Dirty Bastard is a clever, creative dude, you know what I mean? So I'm sure he had plenty of input in
the
album
planets
as well.
In orbit, mate. Keeps
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think he probably went there fucking... got drunk, fucking passed out, and rather just sat there like a fucking ninja and just like, like I knew his A&R. That's actually Old Dirty Bastard A&R is the guy that introduced me. He was roommates with Paul Rosenberg.
Oh shit!
So that's how I met.
Was he a white Jewish dude as well? No.
Nah, I want to say he was either Italian or Puerto Rican or some shit like that.
Deep. I mean, rest in peace, Old Dirty Bastard, man. What a legend as well, man. But I don't know. Who's your favorite
his son, man,
producer?
Producer. Carbon copy.
Oh, is it?
Man.
I can't break it down.
Wait, eat the mic.
I can't break it down to one factor. No. That's the thing.
Q-Tip, Primo, Spinner.
Well, it's always it's been Primo and Q-Tip for the long. Like Q-Tip, Tribe Called Quest.
Tip's nasty.
Sort of, yeah,
he's nasty. All like for sure.
I mean, even listen to that latest LL album. He's always doing something creative.
So good.
Out of the thinking out of the box, but it's also solid in every, you know, sonically everything. So,
and you know, with Tip as well, that he doesn't do things just like there's something behind what he's doing.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
He puts
there's
a
messaging
tell him,
in it.
Yeah,
there's an intention.
Where he samples.
That's
why, like, you know,
that's why it's interesting to hear Scam's account of. I know that little thing pissing me off. That's why it's interesting to hear your account of the art direction of the album and stuff and how it all integrates with the music, because it's the experience of picking it up on the other end as a consumer,
listening
to the music and making your own sort of interpretation of doing that thing.
As a kid, I used to draw these drawings.
You know what,
them in my notebook.
It's crazy to me because, like, I remember when I was a kid and I got my first Iron Maiden album,
Oh, and you
I knew we were going to talk about it. When he I said well, Iron Maiden, when you talked about crazy artwork.
I'm a huge Iron Maiden fan.
Crazy artwork.
I say, like, I would see them every time they come to sign. The, wow. The drummer, Nico, he lived in Fort Lauderdale.
I mean, that's very Iron.
Yeah, that's the what I was going to say. The lead
guitarist lives in Chiswick in West London.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
So.
Barrowgate Road.
You'd say that kind of derives from that
Iron Maiden influence. That's really... He has a line where he's like, if you ever see a video for this shit, I'd probably be dressed up like a mummy with my wrist slit.
Okay. Yeah,
with my wrist slit. So if you look, there's like a razor blade in a mummy's wrist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just to circle back to explain the tribe art, because I kind of like we just veered off.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, so what it is this. So when I did the logo again, so I did like an actual tribe. So it's seven of them, because you know, seven is like a righteous number.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's four women and three men in the tribe because the world is more populated by women than men. Mm. So that was like the explanation of that. So the artwork, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, the woman is the beats and rhymes, and the life is chaotic or whatever, you know. So it's kind of had her holding the flag, you know, looking forward, like kind of was like, we're questing, we're looking. And so on the insert art, on the back, it's them like on a broken road, like kind of pointing, looking towards the moon.
Yes, yeah.
And so on the insert, they're on the moon, but they're still looking for the next.
That's the artwork the next I was place. Talking about from the EP, where it's like they're on a desert.
Yeah, that's from the insert.
That's the moon thing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the whole explanation of, and if you look on the crates in there, there's like Scam and Shadow Man is like one of the crates. Like,
sick.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to slide that in there, no doubt, man. You know what? There was a few other things as well. I don't know how long we've been going for, Soph. Okay, so we've hit an hour, but if you don't mind, we can hang it a little bit longer.
I don't care.
I
came all across damn fucking ocean. Shit, whatever, dude.
Yo, Scam is in town, by the way. This drops on Wednesday. So, you know, he's in town right. for a bit. So, you know what I mean? I'm sure you're going to exhibit some of your...
£500,000 for a
verse.
Collab
me on the post.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I will, 100%, 100%. But listen, I brought a few albums. When I was pulling out the Eminem album, because I wanted you to sign it. So, I pulled out a bunch of stuff. I saw classic hip-hop albums that have been hand-drawn.
Here we go. Let's go.
I wanted to kind of get your 2 cents on them. You know what I mean? A little
All
bit.
All right.
Just on what you think. Here's one, number one right here.
Oh, the OG Slick. This shit right here.
Let me just explain. This is the Far Side Bizarre Ride 2. Who did the artwork?
OG Slick.
Incredible OG Slick is artwork on there.
At least I believe that's who did it. I'm pretty sure that's what I was told.
First.
Crazy, no?
Let me see. Can I see a signature on it?
And the same kind of era as that. That's why I'm in life album and shit.
And I remember just being like, oh, that's a vagina?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a woman with her legs spread. Yeah. Oh, those loops are her tits. What?
Yeah. It took me a while to notice.
How did they get away with this? This is crazy. And then the vagina's got teeth on it too. Like,
yes.
So fucking sick.
So good.
Let me make sure I'm not talking some dumb shit.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Maybe.
I love those big.
It just says maybe more than. I don't know. I don't know if it was.
Those big double vinyls, man. I don't know if it was OG Slick.
I think someone had told me that, and I was like, oh, for real? Art Direction artwork by Fucked.
Doesn't say, no?
No, I remember Fucked was a clothing company.
Oh, right, yes. But obviously, that gets the nod, right? Yeah.
What this is, is insanely, insane. Like...
It's so good.
This is amazing. This is an amazing piece to me.
It's just this guy is so fast.
Yeah. All right, what we got next?
Back.
All right.
Super fire. Okay. Love this. Love this album.
Yeah.
I remember the brand new heavies version of Soulflower.
Oh,
another classic.
Now, okay, so here's
I've just handed him Snoop Dogg first album.
So there's two thought processes. There's critical art because I come from a comic background, and you deal with editors and fans and you know people that like those guys. They have a lot of energy for shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So from that standpoint, it's like, it's cool. But at the other end of it, it really, it does complement this perfectly.
Yeah.
Mm. I think it's his mate. I think that's his mate who does all the artwork.
So shout out to Snoop for constantly using the dude. You know what I mean? And this is, it's an, at this point, it's an iconic. Yeah, it's an like iconic look. The only thing that used to burn me was like, they would always have these like lists of the greatest album artwork of hip hop. I have never fucking made one of those lists.
Not even
lists.
Been mentioned. Nah.
Never.
Not with Beats, Rhymes, and Lies. These motherfuckers
dog. But this is always on all of them.
Of course, yeah.
And your work is...
Yours is 10 times better than that, to be honest. But I mean, that captures an aesthetic.
Critical artwork, but also, this is like a cult kind of...
It captures an aesthetic. So
big, you know? Yeah, like it's... I mean, it's just, it's so iconic and like, you know it and it, nothing looks
it does,
like it.
It does marry the music.
Like, yeah. And particularly well.
Yeah.
So it's like, from that standpoint, I'm like, yo, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, if you were to say, if you could go back in time and you would do this cover over, I'd probably be like, nah. Like, I think that's the person that needs to do that.
Here's another one. Cyan Supercrew. You might not be aware of this.
I do not know this one.
This is a French hip hop group called Cyan Supercrew, but the artist is a British artist called Mode 2.
I do know.
Who's an ill graffiti artist, illustrator. And
I like this. I do like this.
It's nice. Now with the ink.
Shout to Mode 2, man.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Now, like, if you were to say to me, like, on some old, like, if I was head of the art department of the label or whatever have you.
Go for it.
You know, it would be certain things where I'd be like, okay, well, we need to be able to make this out clearer.
Exactly. It gets lost a bit in the splatters.
This gets lost a little bit in there. So it's like, you know, it would be some tweaking. And then see this KLR, mm-hmm. you can't really see that because it's stroked with the same color.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you might be better off just making this white with a blue stroke or, you know, I mean, even a dark stroke.
Make
to
it stand
kind of
out
pop
more.
A little bit more. You know what I mean? And then certain things like we would, like the splatters on the inside of the line art, like, we'd have to do something else to kind of mute that away because all of this shit starts to get lost.
That's true.
But I like the idea, and I would always go for like a more visible typeface. That would have to be white. Like, I would probably opt for that to be white.
Yeah, because they got the white here with the characters, but yeah, they could have done that up the top to make it stand
right.
out a bit
so,
more.
Right, so, you know what I mean? Like, those kinds of things, and that's just, like, from...
I didn't even know that was Mode 2, man. The whole of my life, I didn't know that.
And here's one more. We're going way back now. Oh. Nucleus.
I have never seen this before.
Nah? You know the song Jam On It?
Yes,
Jam On
I
It.
Do.
That's Nucleus.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
But this is fire, though. This is... Who's... Bob... Bob Camp?
I have no idea.
84. Bro, I was a jit. This is kind of dope, though. Not for nothing. I fucks with this.
Yeah, it's kind of more on the, like, really comic book art.
You didn't bring no bullshit. You brought good shit.
Yeah,
that
man.
Looks a lot like the, Scientist, the reggae albums. You know, Scientist.
This, it does. Ah. It does kind of have that vibe to, like, some of the Jamaican stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot.
I was going to bring
the Unsung Heroes album because that's like a comic book, but I fucking forgot like an idiot. This is the last one that I brought with me. Is the Fantastic Damage Dan LP. Ezra. Dan Ezra, I think, did the artwork. LP, obviously, Company Flow, Definitive Jux.
I mean,
Jux.
You know, like, not my cup of tea. Like, yeah. not this.
I can see the comment section going wild right now.
Open it up. There's a wild style piece in the middle.
I like the cover a little bit more. But once again,
it's a painting. Obviously, they took a picture of a painting.
I like the painting.
Yeah.
But, see, once again, see all this shit? Something would have needed to be white or something, like, because it's like the red letter on the red background. With the yellow stroke, it's a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just my graphic design brain. But when I did the L Fudge cover, they used like a red kind of like this, like boom. Like,
fuck,
really...
is that you in the L Fudge?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first.
I got that as well. Why didn't I bring that with me?
That was the first record cover I ever did.
No way. What?
Yeah, El Fudge, what if?
With the character with the dreads and the pencil.
Other than the tribe. That was after the tribe.
No.
No.
El Fudge was the first cover I ever did.
What?
It would have been before, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, son.
I like this.
I didn't realize.
This kind of reminds me.
That's an ill tune.
This reminds me of some Gwar shit.
That's a DJ Spinner track as well, right? The El Fudge. That's a DJ Spinner. Did that.
I like this. The inside is fucking fire. Like the layout for this is dope.
Yeah.
I like that.
And also,
I guess the only thing I didn't like was the.
Backside.
Because I'm just like, what is that? Like, if I have to look at something and I have to strain and struggle to figure out what it is.
Which angle and which way.
But you know what? This album is like that. The music is like that.
Oh, well, see.
You kind of, not strain to listen to, but.
I don't know the album, so.
It's very abstract, very, you know.
And ephemeral
kind of
and then
weird.
Boom. So there you go. There so you go. So in that down. Instance, like if I did know the material, I might be like, yo, this works that for fits. This.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then, you know, that's a whole different thing. Like if you look at, you know, man, when I did that album, I just did it.
Yeah.
Like that's marker. Like that was before I even knew I didn't even know how to use Photoshop back then.
That's deep. I was gonna ask mad questions about, you know, your like, cause I'm very physical. I like when it comes to drawing on the computer, I find it quite frustrating, and so I always do it by hand first, scan it in, and then draw over it with the computer. I can't just draw on a computer.
Right.
I have to use my hand to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, because I know you use a lot of digital stuff. Are you good enough now where you can just draw straight on the computer, or do you use a pen and iPad and all that stuff now?
I don't. I have an iPad and Procreate. I don't use it. It's a bit of a learning curve, and it's always a weird thing, like drawing on the screen.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I use it in a very minimum way. I don't even use it for art. I use it to record myself writing. Like I use
because I saw the video because you've got a wicked YouTube channel. I'll link it below. Everyone go follow and support Scam 2. So I keep saying that. But there's one you did, the Vicodin pill. That's on the Eminem one.
Oh, but with the Iron Man.
With the Iron Man mask.
The Iron Pill.
And it goes from you drawing it by hand and then scanning it in and then drawing it through digital and then adding the shading, adding the colors, adding, and then it just the layers and layers. It just looks so sick. And then it's got your music playing in the background as well. It's a really cool video.
Thank you, man.
And but
I was just complaining how I was like, man, I did all this innovative shit. Nobody's seen it.
Nah, but you killed like that's such an ill, like just showing your process. Because on last week's episode, I was talking about another graffiti writer called Totem 2. I don't know if you're aware of him. I think he might even be Miami. No, he's Atlanta. He's not Miami. But he does a lot of digital stuff. But he's obviously from a spray can, does a lot. But his YouTube channel now, he does some cool stuff on there. But no, just your digital, you seem very good at the digital stuff now.
Oh man, honestly, like I know how to use Photoshop.
Yeah.
To kind of handle what I need to handle. But bro, I talked to some people that are like Photoshop senseis.
Yeah.
You know, like I know a bunch of guys that, you know, they worked for like Marvel, DC, Image Comics, like those kind of things. Like those are homies of mine. And you know, I was like, yo, how do you do this? Yo, how do you do that? Da da da. And I had this one guy, you know, shout out to Tony Washington. Like, he is just like, bro, he starts talking to me. He's like, hey, you know, just go check your ink levels. Go open up in the alpha channel and do this. And you know, straight talking fucking binary code to me. And I'm just like, what? I'd just be like, yo, I'm going to just open up this. I'm going to hit that and I'm going to color.
Yeah.
I'm going to just do like
and I think,
this. You
know what I'm saying? And even when it comes to music production, maybe Harry can chime in here as well. I've heard like people like Premiere and stuff who like being limited. Like they sit in front of a computer and they got Logic and they can literally do anything on the planet, they get stumped. But if I got my little MPC, I got my records, I know what I'm doing.
That's
here.
That's how I feel when it's like when I'm working on some music and it's like, find a sound.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, there's so many sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hate it.
Yeah. Having too much choice is like a killer. It's like
that's
the opposite
how I
of.
Feel.
It's a weird counter. Yeah.
You never
spend more
time
looking
for shit
than actually watching
shit.
This might
puts
be
you
it.
Off of watching TV, right?
Yeah.
And just so I'm often seeking limitations or what, and trying to replicate certain limited. So, like you said, you've got a computer screen. It's a blank page now, right? You can do anything. You can do anything. You can have any type of pencil, you can have whatever, and it actually does when you're drawing with it. The new ones. It does feel.
I'm not
you
too
forget,
good on them,
you forget the hand-eye thing. It's not just about how it scratches against the paper now. It's like how the pencil is reacting and how you're getting your shading and stuff like that, right? So you've got that. You can get lost in that world. But the thing of scanning, drawing it on paper, scanning it, there's just something about that. I don't know if it's how your brain codes shit or whatever. But now I used to overthink everything, the whole production process and mixing and everything. It used to be this really esoteric art form, and I'm going to really overthink it and overcook it. Fuck all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Italian food, man. Yeah, an Italian meal that's made in over an hour is going to be shit. It will be dog shit, right?
Yeah.
You want it to be knocked together in like 10 minutes.
Well, I always try
it's going to be the best.
Reassure myself, usually, like now when I'm daunted by all the technology, I always put my mind back to some of my favorite shit, whether it's art or hip hop or music. That shit was made on very basic stuff with very limited amount of shit, but they created this incredible shit that
Eric B is president.
Yeah.
Best example I always think of. I'm just like, that shit was done on a 4-track with like, you can tell they just had
and it was so limited
out of the sampler going straight to a tape, and then you got to get your vocals and get your scratch on the other channel.
So here's the thing. So all of those things are definitely true. But I watched someone like Spinner when I was younger. Like, this guy would take, you know, he had his shit. He would work off, I think he had a SP, and he had an Akai 950.
Yeah, and a 3000,
And bro, he would be like, he would take fucking sounds, and he would, and it would just be a whole new sound.
Mm-hmm.
A whole new sound. And I just used to watch him do stuff, and I just be like,
deep.
Like, wow. Like, it was just, you know, it was incredible. Like,
well, I talked to him about that. We went to there was the event that they had in the park or whatever with Easy Mo B and all Spinning.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big thing anyway. Yeah. We were all hanging out together, and I was chatting to, I've known Spinner a while. So, now when I see him, he's like, oh, every time I think of see something that
he's like,
I think
noodles
about that time or whatever, it's like, I think about you guys in UK, I think about you straight away or whatever. And I was like, yeah, look, how you put piecing all that stuff together. It sounds so complex how he's done it, right? That's a lot of that's in the programming with Spinner and how he's, like you said, he takes a sound and he twists it. But he's got the way his ear works, he was doing stuff that's quite simplistic. To get that effect is quite a simplistic approach. Like, you know, a lot of it was wah-wah, like a filter just with an envelope or something. Then he puts an echo on it. So I was like, I went on a whole... He was a big influence of mine at that time. So I went on this whole mission of trying to sort of do my own thing that had a little reference to it. So I overthought the process so much early on and went down these really complex avenues, like over-programming shit. And then realizing years later that, hold on a second. Yeah. It was like a quarter of the effort was needed to get the result that he was getting. So when we were talking about it, I thought he was using all sorts of loads of equipment. Like, no, man, I just had my 3000, SP, I had some guitar pedals. You know, I was asking him how he did all the fucking crazy wah-wah shit and
stuff.
It was just like a couple of guitar pedals.
Bro, like,
just like
365, like, I've never heard a beat like that.
That is insane.
M didn't like it.
Bro,
oh, no way.
You know what?
I forgot all about it. I found an old interview I did, and I was talking about how he didn't like the beat, and I was like, oh shit, I kind of remember that now. And I was just like, I was like, nah, man, this is the one. Like, because I was just like, yo, this beat is so, it was just so fucking weird, you know what I mean? But it was just, I was like, yo, this is the one. And I'm glad, like, there's so many people that come up and they'll be like, yo, that's like one of my favorite Eminem songs.
I'm so glad you put that down, because when he went and did this album, like, I was obsessed. Me and Verb T, Verb T's dad lives in LA. So he'd go to LA every, you know, summer holidays or whatever, go and stay with his pups and come back with a bag of records from Amoeba or whatever, videotapes, cassette. Dubbed off of radio. So Power and all that shit. So this was when M was going absolutely crazy on the Sway and Tech show and all his shit, right? So we had all of his verses, all the different renditions of his verses. So by the time this shit came around, it was like, what happened to that whole fucking body of work that we were waiting to get committed to, like, tracks? So the shit that you did with him, and you and Spinner, that at least serviced our type of sensibility. Do you know what I'm saying?
I love that Spinner that with Thurston Howell III. What's it called?
Watch this.
Watch this. Yeah, with the, is that the?
I had a verse on it.
No way. No, and they took it off.
Yeah. Ah. Somebody at Rockets hated me.
Spit it now. Come on, let's go. Spit
I'm laughing because he told me this earlier.
Tell me you remember that verse. If you're willing to spit it now, because that would be a sick ending, man. Because that's one of my favorite. Because what's that? Is that the? It's the British group. Don't watch that. What's it called? The track I made for you. Watch that. It has that on it. I made a beat for him that was with the same shit. But who are they called? What are they called? Remind
Madness,
me. Madness, that was
you. It's the Lucky Lucky
The Lucky Lucky Show, yeah.
Don't watch that. Watch this.
Yeah. And that Eminem verse, and even the Thurston Howell. I think Thurston Howell maybe even got him on that, but no, but the Eminem verse is sick on that. And you had a verse on it.
Yeah.
Of course you did. It's with Spinner Production.
I think originally they had punching words on there, but
as well.
I was like, and then I dropped the verse on there, and all I can say is hearsay. I don't know if it's for sure.
Are you still mad about it then? I can see, I can sense in your eye.
I'm definitely a little pissed off about it. But they told Spinner to take me off the song, and he took me off the song, and I was just like, how the fuck, I'm your artist.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it didn't make any. Like, nobody's gonna go to Puffy and be like, "Yo, take Biggie off the song." Like, it didn't make any sense to me. And
oh wow,
you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. I'm very pissed off about that. But
I bet.
You know, I heard one story. It's because I said something about like a religious fun poke, but you know, somebody was like. They didn't like that I said something about the Bible or some shit.
Oh.
And I don't know how true that is.
Americans get very upset. I can't see M getting mad.
But the person who it was a Puerto Rican. That I don't know if it's true, but that's, you know, it ride that shit. You know what I mean? But my shit was like.
Que dice de Dios.
Like, honestly, like if somebody would have came to me, if that was the issue, give me a chance to fix the line.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, just don't take my shit off the fucking track.
Yeah, like, because it made total sense at that point for me to be on the record. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. But ultimately, it's speculation, like you say. Like, you know, we don't want to speculate too hard here.
Yeah, that's no, yeah.
Allegedly.
But I'm the kind of person, like, when I see the person that I heard was their decision, I will ask them.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You know what I mean? So
I will definitely
should.
Ask.
Yeah. Yo.
Some people don't like that about me.
Best way to be.
That was 20 years ago. So, so,
brother Scam, man, I don't want to, like, again, we don't want to be here for too long. So let's wrap this up. I think maybe I got one last question, but before that, do you have something you want to plug? Somewhere you want to direct people to go and check out? I'll put all the links below. But if you want to, let
we
me
got
know.
A new track coming. It's called Can't Hold Back. Yep.
I'm looking forward to that. We'll get exclusive on our pod. You know what I mean?
It's pretty good.
Sick. I can't wait.
It is pretty,
pretty good.
It's pretty good.
You got a website? You got, I know.
Yeah, scam2.com. I got these sticker packs. I mean, if you run it to me while I'm out here, I got them on deck.
Yo.
No, not even that. I did this flip with the mummy, and I like did a mashup with Mario Brothers.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah,
with the crazy team on the Mario.
Hey, you know, so yeah, like if you could catch me while I'm out here, boom, get them. Or, you know, shit, DM me. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
The reason why I say that is because I sometimes feel bad. Like people from the UK order shit. And it's, I guess you guys are used to it. Like if you order shit from the States, like you get hit with. The shipping is fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's more than the items.
Ah, so he's here in town. So if you want
if you want to order shit,
you got prints, you got stickers, you got a few pieces, right? Yeah, we're going to have some stuff.
I'll flash them up on the screen now. Really,
you know, you want to spend a little chip, you get like a little original drawing from your boy.
Yeah.
And you know what?
That's what I'm saying whilst he's in England.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Scam. Because every episode we do little giveaways to encourage people to leave comments below. So I'll send out three stickers, Scam stickers, to a lucky winner who leaves a comment. I'll pick one of the comments.
They're good stickers.
And they're, yeah, even better.
They're weatherproof, die cut.
I was going to put you on the spot. If you want to spend 5 minutes doing a little doodle.
Five seconds.
Just five, literally 5 minutes. do a little doodle on this piece of paper, and I'll give it away to one lucky winner.
All right.
Just a little. It doesn't even have to be good, but it'll be done by the man.
What size is this? Is this like a UK size?
No. Even if you do it in the little one in the corner, I don't care how big it is.
See, you guys say A4. Nobody in the States knows what the fuck that means.
Yeah.
So is that not A4 in the States?
We don't say that.
That's letter size.
Most people don't know that.
But you just asked, like, what size is that? Is that a normal letter size?
Try and put it in printer. I mean,
like, a printer knows that, but, like, regular people, they'll be like, the more prevalent size is 8.5 by 11, 11 by 14, 11 by 17.
Oh, rather do inches. By
numbers. Oh my god! You guys are from England? That's crazy.
We got the metric system, yo.
You got a pen.
Oh my god! You guys do that fucking metric bullshit.
I got a pencil there. I got more pens over there as well.
If you've got enough money, please buy him a copy of Beats, Rhymes, and Life. Send it over, motherfuckers. They didn't even give him one, man.
Yo.
and also, I just want to end on this. If you could have designed any album cover from any album that's happened in the past, which album cover would you love to have designed? But anyway, it doesn't even have to be hip hop. It can be anyone.
He's going to say Michael Jackson Thriller. He's going to say it. He's going to say it.
You can't beat that album.
I'm not, I'd have to sit and really think about that. But off top, I would say one that came out that I was like, man, what the fuck, was Liquid Swords.
Okay.
I would have really wanted to do Liquid Swords.
Wait, what's the Liquid?
It's the chessboard. But check it out, though. I heard this story because I remember seeing the artwork and I liked the idea, but I thought the execution was like, I was like, what is this?
It was a little bit wishy-washy.
But nah, check it out. So I heard more recent years that the guy that did it works for DC. Like, he was a legit comic artist, but that was just a sketch. That wasn't even supposed to be it. But the jizz was like, yo, this is it right here. And the guy was like, nah, like, that was just, nah. He's like, nah, this is it. And that's how that happened. And I was like, oh.
But he took that from you. Cool. You did that with Beats, Rhymes, and Life first.
No,
you
just walked take up with
the
sketch.
They took it from you, bruv. 100%. 100%.
Chill out.
All right, yo, party people, man. Listen, it's
a
blessing.
Episode 99.
Thank you so much, Harry, for coming and organizing and helping link this beautiful link. Scam 2.
You never even
told us the story behind the question mark after Scam 2. Maybe next time you could tell us.
Okay.
Round it out.
All right, yeah, boom. So when I was young, you know, we used to, you know, skateboard. We were downtown and we got rounded up. I was young, man. I was probably like, I want to say maybe like 12 or some shit like that. We got rounded up with a bunch of kids and they just, like, put us all together and started taking Polaroids of us. And they went through my bag, and I had a little sketchbook in there. And, you know, and I used to spell it S-C-A-M. And they just, like, took a Polaroid of me and wrote that down, like, as my graffiti name and shit. And I was a little kid. Like, I wasn't doing graffiti. Mm. But it was, like, some real violation shit. It was great because that's wild. Like, you're just doing that to a bunch of little kids.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And so I kind of felt violated after that. And I was like, yo, fuck it. So I just switched my name, and it was like, that's where the two came in, because it was like the second version of Scam. I switched from a C to a K. Mm-hmm. And the question mark, I don't know. I used to have like a little character I would draw with a question mark because I hated drawing people's faces.
Instead of the face.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know if that came before or after that, but so that's what it was, like Scam 2. And then the question mark, but apparently, like, there's some other people that write Scam 2.
Well, there's a local legend from around here.
Scam 1 from here.
But that's fine. That's fine. Scam 1's fine. But then, like, someone, my boy DJ Dister, he went to LA recently, and he showed me someone writes Scam 2.
Oh, man.
So, and I've heard that, like, once or twice, someone being like, oh, I saw Scam 2. Is that you? And I was like, I said, was there a question mark on it? They'd be like, nah. And then it wasn't me. You know what I'm saying? And I write the question mark. When I write it, like the dot on the question mark is a copyright sign. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that. So that's my shit. So that's how that came about. Like, so it was like the second version of my name. So boom, there we go.
Boom. Scam 2.
Bam. Scam 2.
Biddy bam, bibbidi boom.
Biddy bam, biddy boom. Themos.
We're flying Harry over Lowe to LA now to find the other scam. Scam 2. We're gonna pop a cap in your way.
Let's go out to this tune, Ill Bill and Scam 2. Push the Button.
Oh, all right.
We'll go out to this one. Leave the cameras rolling just for another minute, please. Sophie Callis, thank you very much. We're here on the
Love
Boat
you, Sophie.
Pod.
Big
up Sophie Callis.
At the Boat Pod. At the Boat Pod. I'm going to put all the links below to check out the Boat Pod. They do ill DJ sets here, crazy shit.
The Boat
shit.
Pod is better than your house.
Yes. Here, peace and love. Arms house to your mom's house. Episode 100 coming up next, yeah? So, big love, yeah?
Holy.
We big good? Love. And yeah. The winner, the people leave a comment and the winner will get this sketch by film him
no,
sketching.
I'm not sure
that's
it's
too
be
good
just
to
a
be
sketch.
True, bro.
No,
yo,
a question.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Leave a comment below and you can win, all right? That's all I'm going to say. Big up, big up, big up. Peace and love.
My motivation's between a stairway to heaven and road to Satan. Meantime, set the fuck out my immediate location, a personal space. Burn you with the stake, murder you for cake. Turn you into bait and feed you to sharks and birds of prey. Vultures of every culture, predators, pimps and senators, presidents and porno mag editors. Runaways and bus stations begging for enemas. Spread eagled on the best ecstasy, begging for 10 of us. Wall Street terror coming, strange packages. Double plane massacre, scarred brains and fracture us. Attention deficits create chemical pestilence. While the CIA creates the most intelligent of terrorists. My tactics put you underneath the maggots, underneath a few tons of dirt, a reef and granite. Change your opinion like media deceives the planet, making the godliest of beings appear satanic. Why is it often that lives end so weird and tragic? Why is it often the good die young and so many pass with no justice, no peace, no redemption? I carry the full fifth with a chrome extension. We men of a thousand or more faces plot assassinations across nations, producing shockwaves that cause hatred and start revolutions, burn constitutions, burn literature, bomb institutions, burn children's hospitals, bomb police stations, bombs on the cars that explode and leave craters, seize data, freeze bank accounts and assets, and buy nuke weapons for exclusive access. Cause a nuclear apocalypse, push the button. It only takes one dickhead to push the button. Go ahead and press your luck, push the button. Holy shit, we're all fucked, someone push the button. Cause a nuclear apocalypse, push the button. It only takes one dickhead to push the button. Go ahead and press your luck, push the button. Holy shit, we're all fucked, someone push the button.
I am not now, nor ever being part of the human race. Not that it matters, Earth days are numbered anyway. My sine waves will melt flesh and burn right through your face. Shrivel you up like white blood cells when they strip with AIDS. Soon as I push the button, I release the sickest plague to make Ebola seem like a sip of lemonade. Simple-minded fools think my moves for getting paid. Soon as I get the money, I'ma do this shit anyway. Who say you can't take it with you? My words paint a picture, vivid genocide, prophesied on some ancient scriptures. Written on other planets where they don't know what man is. There's no such thing as money and aliens, money matters. Homie, we off the scanner, check your weekly planner. I predict crime zero to be somewhere in Indiana. 2 weeks from the Mara, I mean tomorrow. A lot of horror emanating and stretching from the Lococa numbness to my old world of darkness. Been through so much dumb shit, we done turned heartless. But now the bottom is on top of running shit. Peep the diabolicness of my brother Anonymous. Chip off the old chopping block, bout to run a spot. Welcome to modern day NRK, fuck the cops. I fuck shit up from here to where Bush be. Trust me, you think not? Pussy, then push me.
I even got the underground shit that you did with scams.